This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
A couple of things. First of all, Larry Brooks, who does a fine job covering the NHL for the New York Post, is saying that he's hearing the Jack Hughes injury is significant. And even pondered, I wonder if it might turn the Devils from buyers into sellers. I'm no hockey expert. They cannot become sellers.
Well,
I don't care how bad the injury is to Jack Hughes. They're 5 points up on a playoff spot.
Let me play, and actually, no pun intended for once, devil's advocate to this whole thing. The Devils are 6 points up on the Rangers, who hold the last spot in the postseason.
Right.
The Devils have also played two more games than the Rangers and everybody else who's jumbled there, meaning, you know, if anybody won those games, you're talking about a two-point swing. The Devils at one point were 20 points up on the Rangers, who hold that last spot, meaning this collapse is not just Jack Hughes related. It's been epic. Last year, we saw them without Jack Hughes. That's just a team that's going to waste everybody's time for four games in the postseason.
I would just have a tough time selling when I'm 6 points up on a playoff spot.
Yeah, that's hard to do, man.
You gear up and it helps you for next year.
Yeah, but you're a troll.
I'm really not. I'm really not.
Okay.
If Shesterkin was out the rest of the year, I'd be saying the same thing about the Rangers.
Well, hopefully Jack Hughes will be okay. Now, we were talking earlier about that Steph Curry NBA draft. And a caller mentioned, hey, that was the same day Michael Jackson passed away. And I think that's one of those seminal moments in American history where you kind of remember where you were the day Jackson died. And I think, Sean, you were the one who asked it, saying, hey, I wonder what the open was the next day on Mike and the Mad Dog. Now, a couple of things. Dog was already gone. Dog left a year earlier.
Bad job by me.
And Sean set it up. Think about it. You have an NBA draft in which Steph Curry's one pick away from the Knicks, doesn't go there. The Subway Series is about to begin. But Michael Jackson died the prior evening. So, ladies and gentlemen, thanks to Dove Kramer, who went right into the WFAN archives, we present to you another edition of WFAN Flashback as we hear the open to Mike Francesa the day after Michael Jackson died.
WFAN Flashback!
Oh, we get the song, too.
Mike Dunn, he's ready to go on the fan. New Sports Radio, Mike Dunn, he'll get you the sports any way that he can. It's Mike Francesa on the Fan, Sports Radio 66.
Go ahead, Mike.
Coming to you live from Citi Field, Subway Series,
remote
round number two. This is Mike Dunn, Francesa on the Fan on the YES Network, and of course on the Fan. Round two of the Subway Series, another overcast day. I thought we had been promised 85 and sunny. Well, it's 80, but there is still a tremendous threat of thunderstorms. Uh-huh. It is a completely overcast Citi Field, as you see, as we come inside right now and welcome you on this Friday program, a week before the 4th of July holiday. I know no one has really started their summer yet. And the way this weather looks, you're not going to start it yet either, although it will be three night games out here. A threat of rain, obviously, in the air right now. I wouldn't be surprised. We did have a little rain this morning. It could get a shower anytime now. The field is not covered.
Game got delayed, by the way, to start.
But we get ready for round two.
All right.
here at Citi Field between the Yankees and the Mets.
Weather.
And things have shaped up in the last couple of days because the Yankees won the back two games against
Subway
Atlanta.
Series.
A-Rod's bat picked up dramatically.
Right. I think we can stop it there.
Wow.
So he opened with the Subway Series on June 26th, 2009, a day after Michael Jackson was dead and Steph Curry went to Golden State one pick ahead of the Knicks.
I mean, MJ and Farrah Fawcett's bodies aren't cold, and he's all over the weather report at Citi Field.
Yeah, so do you think technically you open with the Subway Series or the weather?
The weather.
They go hand in hand, though, because the weather impacted the game.
I could be.
Hold your summer plans.
By the way, we didn't know who Steph Curry was going to become at that point.
Tiki,
so why
course.
Would anybody have, I don't know, said, oh, the Knicks missed out I'll
tell
on
you
the
why.
Generational talent.
I tell you why. Because at that moment in time, while you're right, we didn't know Steph Curry was going to redefine the sport.
Mm-hmm.
Totally give you that. And no one was suggesting he should go number one overall ahead of Blake Griffin.
Right.
Knicks fans wanted Steph Curry. He was the target, was the apple of the eye. And for the Knicks fan, their reaction coming out of that draft, even before knowing what Steph would turn into, was disappointment that they missed out on Steph Curry. That's not a Monday morning quarterback spot. That's the truth. And one other thing about that Met-Yankee game, it started an hour late, so the weather was bad. And if I don't know if I could be proven right about this, Sean. I think it didn't rain, and it was one of those non-rain delays that delayed the start of that Met-Yankee game. But either way, the Yankees won 9-1.
And what did Evan Roberts do during that non-rain delay?
I waited. What did I do?
I know you waited, but so what did you do for fun? What does Evan Roberts do for fun during a rain delay?
I was with my dad, so he probably just sat there and talked a little bit.
Well, obviously, I would assume about Michael Evan. I love you.
What'd you think we were going to do?
Michael Jackson.
Thank you, Tiki. We just set up this
Fawcett.
Whole clip.
Right.
Jackson died. Fawcett died.
Okay.
Steph Curry. You had the Subway Series.
Okay.
And you don't have any recollection
you just
of
didn't
the hour?
Care?
I honestly, of that game, I don't have any recollection of. Like, Mets-Yankees, first ever Met-Yankee game at Citi Field. I don't remember anything about it. I mean, I'm being honest with you.
I find that hard to believe.
I remember the draft the day
you
before.
You remember everything.
I don't, because it was
so much so that you write it down in paper form and publish it into books.
And he definitely has something written down from that night.
Well, I have a scorecard from that game, but I'm being honest with you. I have no memory
of it. There's no notes on the border of your scorecard.
Well, I'd have to go back to the scorecard. If I looked at the scorecard, maybe it would jog my memory. But as far as like what I spoke to my dad about in 2009, we probably talked about Obama. We probably talked politics. We like to talk politics. Mm. Why are you rolling your eyes?
Because Michael Jackson died the day before.
I don't know.
You set it up with everybody remembers where they were when
this happened. We were probably breaking down. You think he's going to get this Obamacare thing through? What are you thinking? I don't know.
So this game was not in your book, My Mets Bible.
No, it was not in my book. I don't think many games from 2009. 2009 was a lost season. The Luis Castillo game. Actually, there were a few games. The Luis Castillo game. The Ryan Church game out in California where he missed third base. And probably the first ever game at Citi Field when David Wright hit that home run. But Mets-Yankees, I got no recollection of it. Speaking of no recollection, and I promise we'll get to almost champions. But last night I'm watching the Knick game, and they show Michael Strahan on the TV. That was it. I was just like, oh, Michael Strahan's there. I completely forgot that less than a month ago, Michael Strahan was caught on TV waving an Eagles flag as part of a bit with Saquon Barkley.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, I found the video. I put it out on social media. We talked about it on the air. And right. It resonated with Giant fans where they were very upset.
Yeah, you caused the firestorm.
I kind of did. Well, really, Michael did, but I added to it.
Return, coach.
Nobody saw it on the Fox pregame.
They saw it because I put it out
exactly.
There. So Loogie even made a big deal and said, I would unretire his number. And that became like a big thing. Can you believe it? And people were agreeing with Tommy. Like, yeah, screw him. So Strahan was announced at Madison Square Garden, like a celebrity that's in the crowd. I completely forgot about this whole incident until Sean said to me, hey, Ev, did you hear the reaction Strahan got? And I'm like, why would I care about the reaction Strahan got?
Of course.
And Sean's like, the flag!
Meaningless troll. That's all it was.
Sets the whole thing up. How will Giant fans react? Why would I care?
It shows you that maybe it wasn't that big of a deal.
That's what I said. In real time, when we talked about this, I said Giant fans will forget about it.
Well, do you think that Giant fans booed or cheered him? Because we have the audio that we are about to listen to. I don't know the answer because I haven't heard the clip. I'm just admitting that as an instigator in this whole thing, I completely forgot about it being a thing.
Right.
But, Teak, don't get mad at me.
I think they cheered him.
Okay. Don't get mad at me. If you're going to get mad at anybody for instigating, just get mad at Tommy.
Why? What did Tommy do?
He said his number should be unretired.
Oh, it's because Tommy was reacting emotionally in the moment.
Okay.
I forgive him.
So what'd I do?
You brought it up.
What, was I supposed to bury it?
No, of course not.
Thank you.
Good job bringing it up.
Thank you very much. All right, here it is. Last night at Madison Square Garden, Michael Strahan's announced. You think he gets cheered?
Yes. He's Michael Strahan.
The reason I think he gets cheered is if I forgot about it. Don't you think everyone else forgot about it?
Right.
What would you have done if you're at the Garden, Sean? I almost took you to that game last night.
I would have cheered because I would have forgotten about it. Now.
And you were mad about it, too.
Yeah, but I also thought that this would happen. You also have to remember, last night, big tourist night at the Garden. Probably a lot cheering. Didn't know Strahan played football.
Why is it a big...
Steph Curry in town, not...
Oh,
you know.
Yeah.
Knicks fans sell their tickets.
Oh, yeah.
You know the deal. All right, here it is.
Let's go to New York one time this year. Make it the beginning of March when it's still freezing out. But we're going to see Steph.
Well, it's what's actually really special about this is you get to see Steph twice because he's in Brooklyn tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good deal if you're a tourist. You go to the Garden, you go to Barclays, and you watch Steph dance in two different boroughs.
Let's go check out this Brooklyn place. I heard it's really cool.
Yeah, that's the place to be. Here it is, Michael Strahan being announced at Madison Square Garden. Let's see if Giant fans booed him or cheered him. Sounds like cheers.
Yeah, definitely cheers.
I couldn't hear through the speaker system. I'm going to go with cheers.
You would hear boos.
You would. That's the key. It's not a matter of cheers. If he was getting booed by Giants fans, boos resonate. You would hear the boos.
Even if it's a vocal minority.
Right.
You'll hear them.
And this is 1 month removed. Could you imagine if he was ringing the bell at the Meadowlands in September? Right. How many people remember then? One more piece of advice for Madison Square Garden. There's a lot at Knicks and Ranger games. Lose the Fox NFL theme to let us know it's a football player.
The Nets do that too. It's so obnoxious.
And there's other football themes, by the way.
Monday night,
Well, he does work for Fox, though.
Thank you.
Yeah,
and it's obviously
true.
Probably his PR people that send him that, just like when they say Michael Imperioni, White Lotus instead of Sopranos. It's just whoever gives the Garden the song or.
They play that for every single
they do.
Or
Even if it's somebody.
Yeah.
Oh, then that's
really?
Dumb. Yeah, that's stupid.
Never the CBS theme, never the ABC. It's always the Fox theme.
I get your point about Strahan because you're right, but the truth is, Sean's right too, they always play that song. Jokingly aside.
I'd be offended. I'd be like, don't show me.
Well, yeah, because you work for CBS. Why the hell you want a Fox song? I jokingly said Sean almost came to the game. That's not true. Lugie almost came to the game. I actually wanted to go to last night's game. I sold it. I actually regret it. I think I had a good time with Tommy. What would you have done when Strahan was shown on the screen if you were sitting next to me? You, again, are the one who said his number should be unretired.
I would have booed.
Okay.
No, if you didn't know he was there, you would have forgot to boo.
No, I haven't forgotten. I would argue he should be barred from Madison Square Garden. They banned Emily Ratajkowski. I never saw her wave an Eagle flag. So to me, I
forgot what she did, too, by the way.
She simply left the game early.
Oh, that's right.
She pulled the tank.
By the way, I was actually going to say that about Anne Hathaway until I found out one of her relatives, I think, worked in the Eagle organization or something like that, because she was at the Super Bowl waving her Eagle stuff around. I'm like, oh, Anne, come on, you're a New Yorker. But she has an affiliation there. Strahan does not. It just shows you that people forgotten. Now, maybe Sean's right. If he's at a Giant game, I wonder what his reaction would be. But he had an act of treason here, and he's just been forgotten about it. He hasn't been punished.
But to T's point, you would have remembered. So if you were with me, we were eating food, we were having a shoving popcorn down our throat.
Clearly, you don't listen to the Lugauer. I call him a turncoat every time I mention his name, which is
still
Teague. That was not good. Not good. Mm. We're talking about one of the all-time great Giants doing something like that. Pull that stunt.
All right.
And Sean, quite frankly, just allowing this to go by.
It's a failed TV bit. Michael Strahan has earned more than enough to get one strike. That's it.
Okay. In the moment, you were very mad.
Well, he had two strikes. We never got to the audio. Wasn't he crushing like Joe Shane in one of the early? You sent me a clip.
The crushing Joe.
It's an opinion. I get that.
Crushing Joe Shane is a football opinion, which most Giant fans do anyway.
Which he has to do
as
an analyst.
Fair enough.
Right. That's his job as an analyst. And by the way, the most diehard Giant fans will rip the general manager.
And he's been a homer on there and been waving the Giant flag with Jimmy there, obviously,
for
Cowboys, etc. So to be fair, but I still think what he did there was ridiculous.
I respect that. I'm just admitting that not only did I forget, but clearly 18,000 people at Madison Square Garden forgot. Real quick,
just Warrior fans.
That too, yeah. We are down to number 9, 8, and 7 in Almost Champions. We're counting down the most beloved New York's Almost Champions. We have a committee here at WFAN. We assigned them this project because we wanted to honor these teams that got to a Finals, World Series, Stanley Cup, or Super Bowl, but didn't win. because we should not forget our almost champions. So we are up to number 9. We will continue it throughout the week. And finally, on Friday at 4 o'clock, we will find out number 3, 2, and 1. But right now, we find out...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and 3-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Number 9.
Number 9. The 2003 New York Yankees.
There's Aaron Boone to lead off. His first at bat of the game. There's a fly ball deep to left. It's on its way. There it goes. And the Yankees are going to the World Series. Aaron Boone has hit a home run. The Yankees go to the World Series for the 39th time in their remarkable history. Aaron Boone down the left field.
Championship Series over. Yankees win. The Yankees win!
Wow. This is such a tricky one because...
Why? Because it's hard to forget any of these Yankees because they went so many times?
No, it's because they got beat by the Marlins a week later. Like, It is a classic series. Beating the Red Sox the way they did, coming back in Game 7 the way they did, Boone hitting the home run. It's one of the most classic ALCSs or best of sevens you could ever have. But I feel like... it's ruined to many Yankee fans for two reasons. Losing the World Series and what happened the following year.
Bingo. Double whammy. Because you the immediate 12 months later, you collapse 3-0 to the Red Sox in the ALCS, which means you couldn't hold Aaron Boone over their heads. They got you in a much worse fashion the next year. I actually feel bad the most for Aaron Boone out of this moment. Because it is such an iconic moment in a man's baseball career. And not that Yankee fans don't remember it and cheer, but... it could have been that much more iconic in Yankee history, but they lose a World Series and lose to Boston the next year.
Yeah, I think it hurts it. I don't think it hurts it. I think it would be better than number nine, but it's sitting there at number nine, the committee's decision. Let's hear number eight.
Number eight, the 2014 New York Rangers.
How about that?
This is a bad job.
P.K. Subban.
P.K. Subban, yeah. What's wrong with you? Do you think they got disrespected or something?
Should be higher?
I'm curious, because we have not heard from the 2014, I always get these years wrong, 14-15 Mets. Which year was that again?
The 2014 New York Rangers got to the Stanley Cup Final and lost to the Kings. The 14 Rangers. Who are you asking about?
I'm asking about the Mets.
2015.
15. I get those 2 years confused because they were very, those two series.
Clearly the 15 Mets haven't been announced yet. They're going to be ahead.
Yeah.
Which is what I'm going to say, which is interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because those two teams are so similar in that you don't get there often. This is the Rangers' only trip to the Cup since 94. The only time Henrik Lundqvist got, that team was beloved. Had that big comeback, the Mother's Day goal from Martin St. Louis. To be only eight on this list?
You know what may hurt it? What may hurt it is it's not like the 15 Mets.
Because it's hockey?
No, nothing to do with hockey. The 15 Mets were kind of on its own. Like, in 14, they weren't any good. In 13, they weren't any good. 16, they did make the playoffs. That Ranger team made the postseason in seven consecutive seasons.
Which makes this more special.
11 out of 12 years. They also lost numerous conference finals, including the following year where they lost a Game 7 at home to Tampa Bay.
But they got there this year.
But that's to the point. I think it makes it more special, more beloved when you constantly knock on the door,
and then you get through.
And then you finally get through.
Mm. No, that's fair. I'm correcting the comparison of the Mets. I think it's different.
Well, it's more that they played
you're right.
Yeah, if you're saying that's more impressive, that's fine. The committee clearly disagrees.
It's why the Giants are still higher.
Yeah.
My comparison to that Met team is simply, I thought the actual series they played in which they lost in were so eerily similar.
But they were
similar.
Just so good all the time.
Right.
They were the Steelers.
Yeah.
Always there, but never quite getting
there. That's it. I can only fight for the Rangers so hard.
14 Rangers, number eight. Who's number seven?
Number seven.
That's carefully played away by Lundqvist. Now Ponikarovsky with it. 2-1 in front. Blocked there. Scramble for it there. They poke away at it. Still it's loose. Pucked out by Kovalchuk. They score! It's over!
Oh. That's the 2012 New Jersey Devils who defeated the Rangers in the Eastern Conference Finals. You just heard it on an Adam Henrik overtime goal. I got to tell you, and I'm not a Ranger fan or a Devil fan, I completely agree with the 12 Devils being ahead of the 14 Rangers. No question in my mind.
This committee is unbelievable.
Why?
Clearly Jersey-based.
Why is that?
Look, we already had another Devil moment. Devils get to 100 cups. They always take battles over. The one time the Rangers get there in 20 years, they're behind this Devil team?
No, they should be. You know why? Devils beat them.
Okay, the Devils beat them, bro. Great. So we're punishing the Rangers for not having
Devils? It's just a local feel. It's like you beat a local team.
Yeah, Sean, I'm going to put it in language you'll understand. This'll work.
English?
Yeah, this'll really work. So let's say the Knicks get to the NBA Finals, right? They get to the NBA Finals, they lose a hard-fought series to the Thunder. Pretty cool. Like, we're going to honor them. And let's say 2 years from now, the Brooklyn Nets not only get to the NBA Finals, and by the way, lose to the same team the Knicks lost to, but they beat the Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals on a game-winning overtime shot by somebody they used with one of the Knick picks.
Okay.
Wouldn't you put the net run above the Knick run because you beat a rival?
You can't even make that up with a straight face.
By the way, I know. I love this argument, so I will say that. All I will say is put a pin in it because unlike other moments, we know the teams to come. You know, we don't know what order they're coming in.
Right, we do know the teams that are still available.
There's a certain team that hasn't been announced yet that isn't a champion because of the reversal of what you're saying that is curious that why that would be ahead of these teams.
Interesting.
Can we just rewind back here that something Sean said about the Devils? They went to a few Stanley Cups and they take back. No. They won three Stanley Cups. Right. And I would argue that Brodeur Triangle Devil team is the most overlooked, underappreciated time period of any sports team in this town. They get no credit. They were a dynasty.
All right.
They get no credit, and you just poo-poo it, and you do this with the Islanders, and you do this with the Devils. Bro, your hockey team is the third-ranked team as far as success. You have the most fans, but you don't have a lot of success, and you act like you do.
and you don't have success. I'm talking about winning cups, not getting and being bridesmaids. Now, take your shot at the Knicks. That's fine. But you constantly take these shots at these other hockey teams when they have had more success than your team. They have.
I just credited the Devils.
No, you didn't. You took a very passive-aggressive shot at them.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you
and
did.
And how's Jack Hughes doing?
No, I don't do that.
Is that really where you went there? That's the low blow?
There, man.
Come on. I'm curious. Anybody have an update on him?
No, don't do that. That's
such a low blow. It's not even
Don't get me going if you don't want low blows.
No. But talk about, just acknowledge that the Rangers don't have the same success as far as Stanley Cups that the Islanders and the Devils have. Just acknowledge.
And that 12 team, as I'm looking, that was the last of the...
Yeah.
Like, they were constantly in the postseason.
That series.
And then it ended after that.
That game is famous for How I Met Tom and Lindsay Tiki, by the way.
Is it right? Really?
Yeah, on a cruise ship. We watched
that. That's very nice. That's the end.
That's I'm going to the game with on Saturday.
To your point, that is the end of that Devil run, the very end of it.
Yeah.
In 2012. But honestly, I think your shots at the Devils are like almost, they've won so much, who cares, actually? Because they did, as Tommy pointed out, win 3 Stanley Cups.
And they beat the Rangers a lot.
They did. So I think that it was actually an attempted shot, but you're actually giving them credit for being a really successful franchise. But the one thing you got to keep in mind, this is where I do agree with the committee. The reason the 12 Devils, to me, absolutely should be ahead of the 14 Rangers are the teams they beat. Because when you beat a rival like that, it does make it extra special.
Right. All right.
It absolutely does.
It makes it memorable.
Quick timeout, because maybe I'm getting this list wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing most beloved, almost champions here.
It's most beloved, and the committee made clear it's beloved, it's success. They use a lot of factors to put this out there, but I'm going to assume that beating your rival certainly plays a role in it.
I'm simply pointing out inconsistencies.
What inconsistency?
The first couple we announced out of the 15 were the 81 Yankees and last year's Yankees, right?
Too long ago. That's why they're...
Okay, but last year's Yankees...
I'll give you the rankings for those just tuning in. The 24 Yankees, the 81 Yankees, the 85 Islanders, which I disagreed with, the 01 Devils, the 03 Nets, the 02 Nets, and then today the 03 Yankees, 14 Rangers, 12 Devils. What's the issue?
So just hear me out. Okay, the Islanders were one of those... And what did we say about the Islanders, why they're so far back out? They were coming off all those champions, right?
Yeah.
What did we say about those Yankee teams? Oh, look, there's so many of them. That's why you kind of forget. My argument for the Rangers is when you look at all these champions, or almost champions we're arguing, they're the one in this group that basically, it's the only time they got through for most people in their lives.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying.
That's what makes them more beloved
especially
to an entire fan base.
Especially when you think about the 01 Devils who won the previous year and they won 2 years later.
And as much as I like poking fun of the Devils, that's where Tommy is right. I can't take a shot. They're there so much and we have two Devil teams. This is the only time the Rangers got through. That's why they're more beloved.
No, that's why you said it's Jersey-based.
But I'm sure to the Devil fan, knocking out the Rangers meant a lot more than knocking off whoever.
Yeah. Who'd they beat in the 01 Eastern Conference Finals? I think it was Pittsburgh, if memory serves correct.
The Devils?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Exactly. Who'd you beat in the 2014 Eastern Conference Finals?
The Washington Capitals and Alex Ovechkin.
Again with the Capitals? How many times you got to play a stupid team?
I thought it was Montreal. Was it Washington?
You're right. Yeah, you're right. It was the Carey Price series.
What kind of hockey fan are you?
Wow. You pressed Tiki?
Penguins second round. When did we beat the Capitals?
01, they beat the...
Tiki knows. Mr. Hockey here.
Maple Leafs.
They're in Toronto.
So there you go. I know more hockey than you, Sean. Let's get back to your calls. 888-808.
And then the Penguins in the conference final.
There you go.
They beat the Capitals to get to the Devils in 12.
All right. Listen, you're all over the place. You just don't know that much about hockey. It's all right. That's why I'm here for you. I can help you out with any of those hockey mistakes you make. Let's go to Mario in Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
What's going on? Great show as always, guys.
Appreciate you, Mario.
Yeah, I'll tell you the thing with Mikal Bridges. He's a finesse player. That's what he is. He's not very strong physically, and that's just the way he is. You're not going to see him fighting through things. Josh Hart is the exact opposite.
But Mario, I saw him in Brooklyn, and he wasn't what he is now with the Knicks. That's my biggest issue. I'm not trying to create him into a player he's not. I'm trying to say when he was with the Nets, he fought through screens. Mm-hmm. He wasn't afraid of contact. He wouldn't fade away against Steph Curry. He's just a very different player, and I don't fully understand why. Ray is in Brooklyn. Hey, Ray.
Gentlemen, good afternoon. Listen, thank you for taking my call. I'm not going to go in on an all-out defense for Mikal Bridges. He's been okay, in my opinion. To me, the most disappointing, Nick, all season, since November, is OG Anunoby. And I know, Evan, I give you credit for not bringing up the 5 picks with Bridges. But the media, regionally and locally, and fans, mostly fans, have been bringing it up. Let's not forget what we gave up. for OG Anunoby, besides the $43 million per season bag for a guy who only played one great month and has had a two-and-a-half game run here where he's been great, that should be all season long. We gave up R.J. Barrett, who was the number three pick, and in my opinion, was the second-best Nick in that run in the playoffs 2 years ago when he averaged 25 a game against Miami when Julius Randle was doing nothing, and he's a better player than OG Anunoby. The only thing OG does...
No, Ray, I completely disagree with you. You think... Let me just make sure I got it right.
I know. There's a lot there.
R.J. Barrett is a better player than OG Anunoby?
No.
Like, if you could reverse time...
No.
And put R.J. on this team and put OG back in Toronto, the Knicks would be better off?
No.
Okay, good. I think that's crazy. Look, here's
R.J. Barrett had the potential to be a very good Knick.
Yeah.
It just never came to fruition, and they couldn't wait on it any longer.
No, and
so
I wonder...
trading him was the best thing for the Knicks, and it was the best thing for R.J. Barrett.
Absolutely. I don't... also think the fit worked. Now, the roster's changed a lot because they traded Julius, but I can't agree with that. And here's the thing about the Bridges pick thing. I think you can bring it up during the offseason, and I'll tell you why and where I think it's fair game. In the middle of a season, a player is a player. Like, what a guy makes, what you gave up for a player, it's freaking irrelevant when they're out there on the field. But let's say during the offseason, Giannis Antetokounmpo becomes available. Okay?
Right, and you need two more picks.
Yes, and the Knicks could have used the five picks they sent, including, by the way, one of the picks they sent Brooklyn's way is the Bucks pick, which is always appealing to a team. I could see a Knicks fan saying, hey, guys, especially when Giannis's return may be similar to the Bridges' return, which is possible. If Giannis gets traded and the return is four number ones, Knicks fans have every right to say, well, hold on a second. We gave up. Completely fair game. So I get it. When another star becomes available that you deem a better fit or you just deem better, and clearly Giannis is better on every level, then it's fair game to say, hey, I think we cashed in for the wrong player. I think it's ridiculous in the middle of March to talk about it every time he plays a game. Is there a difference with what I said?
No, I think you're right. You can't talk about it every time because it's irrelevant. The only thing, only time it will matter, as you said, Evan, is when there is the alternative presented to you and it's not available for you. But that's not the case right now.
You're absolutely.
We still have to see what they do in the postseason. We still have to see what they do going down the stretch before we make pass ultimate judgment on this Mikal Bridges trade.
You're right. Your Sports IQ trivia question is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers and the all-electric Cadillac Lyric. Who was the Knicks' leading scorer the last time they lost a road game to the Lakers? What? Who was the Knicks' leading scorer the last time they lost a road game to the Lakers?
That's it. That's the question.
I don't fully understand the question. Like the leading scorer in that game
or the Knicks?
The Knicks' leading scorer.
The last time they lost to the Lakers.
In the game.
Okay. In Los Angeles.
So the last time they lost a game to the Lakers in L.A. that night. Or day, who is the Knicks' leading scorer?
Once we get a winner or a loser, you could pay off and you'll understand why we asked that
question. Okay. Right now, we will take caller number 7 at 866-540-WFAN to answer your Sports IQ trivia question, and you could win a $250 American Express gift card. Your Sports IQ trivia question is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealer and Cadillac's family of EVs, including the first ever all-electric Escalade IQ. Your phone calls at 888-808-1019. Plus, I received an email from somebody who, I'm just going to give you a hint because I'll read the email when we come back, who, quote, wants to hold me accountable for something I said on the radio. So.
There's a first.
Maybe a second. We'll get to that coming up. Very busy day today here on WFAN. Jose Iglesias is no longer singing OMG at Citi Field. He signed a minor league deal earlier with the San Diego Padres. In fact, we had a celebration of Jose Iglesias and a funeral for OMG right at the top of the show at about 2 o'clock, so you can rewind on the Odyssey app. Also, we came to the realization that as much as it sounds like he made it sense for the Yankees, he doesn't. Like, they're better off with Oswald Peraza and Oswaldo Cabrera, and if a better option at third base becomes available, going after them. So either way, Jose Iglesias will not be singing in New York. He is now a member of the San Diego Padres. And coming up, I got this really nice email from a person named Lawrence,
who wanted to call me out for an opinion I had on sports from a while ago. And we will address that in the next 5 minutes. But let's get to some of your calls. A lot of you have waited a while, and we always appreciate that. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Mike in Cranberry Lake. How are you, Mike?
Hey, guys. How are you today?
What's up, man?
Good. What's up?
So, Evan, you posed the question of the biggest what-if in sports.
Right.
I'm a baseball guy, so to me the answer's easy. You go back to 1994, the player strike.
Oh.
If that doesn't happen, the Expos are still in Montreal.
Yeah.
The Yankees have another set of rings, including Mattingly has a ring. Buck has a ring.
Well, hold on a second. I agree that in terms of what would have happened in 1994 without a baseball strike, there are tons of sexy what-ifs. But you cannot assume just because the Yankees were the best team in the American League, they were going to win a World Series.
Right.
Like, the Cleveland Indians could have won the World Series. The Montreal Expos could have won the World Series. The Braves as a wild card team could have won the World Series. So I think the one thing you said that's right is that the future of baseball in Montreal could have been different. Because they would have been in the playoffs. They probably go on some kind of run.
Right, but it doesn't save them, maybe.
I think it could, because I've always heard that the Mariner run in 95 saved them in Seattle. That actually helped them get a new stadium. So I don't know how far they would have had to have gone for them to get that new stadium.
Right.
But let's just take your Yankee point and say they do win the World Series. Buck Showalter probably never gets fired after 1995. And you're right, the view of Don Mattingly is different, but I think that's minor. Because Yankee fans adore Don Mattingly.
Right.
So if he has a World Series or not, great, good for him. But the future of the Yankee dynasty could have been completely different.
Possibly. But I just wonder what it does for Montreal. That's what I think of, because they don't exist.
Right, that has a bigger impact. Right.
That's the bigger impact for me. The Yankees were damn good regardless.
Yeah.
Yes, Sean?
Devils news. We have Jack Hughes news.
What is the update on Jack Hughes?
The Devils have announced Jack Hughes has undergone season-ending surgery and will be placed on long-term injured reserve. He's expected to be ready to play again in September.
That's a horrible blow. Jack Hughes is one of the great young athletes in our town, a superstar player for the New Jersey Devils, and obviously that is a...
Did they give any details?
No,
we don't even know what the actual injury is.
It's called upper body, shoulder surgery, so you could speculate what happened to the shoulder there.
I know you're trying to be nice right now, Sean. You're doing your best.
No,
I know you are,
because
you're a good human. He's a human being who has a shoulder injury.
That does. When I see season ending, like I kind of thought, maybe he'll come back the last week of the year. That does suck. And if I was a Devil fan, to have the year you've had and lose your best player, that's brutal, man.
No, it's one of those things. I remember feeling this way after numerous injuries. It's... Sports isn't fair sometimes.
Mm-mm.
Because, especially if you're a Devil fan, Jack Hughes has been a joy to watch the last couple of years. Obviously, he's been a main catalyst for this start that they've been off to. I know they've been collapsing recently, but in a playoff spot where even during this collapse, they're still 6 points up. And it just sucks. I think sometimes you just look around and say sports is not fair. So, right. Terrible blow for the Devils, terrible blow for Jack Hughes. Let's go to Joe on the Lower East Side. What's up, Joe?
Thank you for taking my call. That just took the wind out of everything because learning that Jack went down.
Right.
But that being said, I just want to reiterate that 12 Devil team, which was a magical run, just shows you how much Tommy is the hero and Sean is the zero. Because he is dead on, and this team gets no respect for winning cups. They went to the Cup in 01 and 12. And that Cup, that run they made and they beat the Rangers was probably the best live sports moment of my life. I was in the building. The electricity was ridiculous. Beat both Rangers and Devil fans.
No, you're right.
But, you know, Sean, it was. If you lived in the metropolitan area at the time, and I live in the city, but I'm from Jersey, it was ecstatic. All my coworkers, everyone was against me. That electricity for that moment in May was absolutely ridiculous. And I'm sure Mr. Flitt over there from Long Island, who's a Ranger fan, he couldn't experience the actual heat that was going on, which was amazing.
It was amazing. Any response to that, Sean? He pretty much told you.
Yeah.
No, but I did experience heat. As I said, I, for four of those games, was on a cruise ship out of New Jersey with all Ranger and Devil fans, with like 100 of us at the bars for every game.
You were on a cruise ship during Devils Rangers Eastern Conference Finals?
Yes. Yeah, it was the first ever cruise I took.
That's horrible decision.
Who booked this cruise and why?
As you will learn in my life, my
wife... Who booked this crap?
I don't book anything. If it was up to
me... Don't you have date approval?
I do have date approval. I didn't believe in the Rangers.
Really? That's what this comes down to? You didn't believe that 12 Ranger team now could go truth, on a run like
now
that?
Now the truth comes out.
Remember, in this business.
So then why are you so upset that the Devils beat them?
Because when they got that far, you tasted it, Tiki. You said, holy crap, they're really in the... Remember, that was the first time they went to the conference final with that group.
And also, like, playing the rival in the first round, it's still pretty heated, but this is the conference finals. And remember...
Yeah, I picked a date. You know, we're talking about multiple weeks in
the playoffs. No, there's no excuse. We've already admitted that you're a schmuck and that you need to be better
at
improving.
That's
a terrible word. Bro, you can... You of all people, you have lectured me about... Christmas in Disney, there could be a week 17 game or a week 16 game in the NFL. You went on a cruise during an NHL Eastern Conference Finals, probably the most memorable Eastern Conference Finals of this generation.
Right.
Because 1994 is a different generation.
Can I defend Sean here?
No.
Well, let me defend him.
You're the hero and he's a zero. Why are you defending him?
Because I lived the same. Me and Sean have had a similar career path. 2012, you were still a part-timer here at WFAN. You're better off on a cruise ship. You would have been here working with me and Steve Summers at night during these games.
Also,
I'm telling you right now, you're better off on a cruise ship when we were part-timers. We were working at night.
That's good behind the scenes there.
It is. And you know what also? What was
you're
the
also a schmuck too, Sean.
But come on. What was the word you called me?
I don't remember.
Yeah, you remember. What was the word you called me?
I don't know.
You called me a schmuck.
So schmuck. Yeah,
here's something to you. Hey, schmuck, unlike you with the Jets in week 18 going, I'll watch the game at midnight on my iPad. Guess what I did in 2012?
What'd you do?
I made lifelong friends and drank my face off, and the series, that series helped make the cruise. It was awesome.
Games are at night, too. You're drinking at the bar.
All day you hung out, and then you had something to do at night.
And what happened when the Devils won, and you're sitting there with Tom and Lindsay, and you have to eat the crow? Because, by the way, I sat with Tom and Lindsay.
Are they Devil fans or something?
They are also Eagle fans.
Yeah.
So when they won the first Super Bowl, whatever it was, 4 years ago, five, 8 years ago, I was with them that year.
So, fun fact. The actual elimination was my first day back. I came to work. I was here for the elimination.
Wasn't that a Saturday night game, that game?
I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure it was.
But I'm such a fan, I was doing the overnight. I came in early, so I was not traveling during the game. Mm. We had a conference room at the time, and I sat there. And you want a little inside baseball? Steve Summers walked out at the start of overtime to go smoke a cigarette.
What? And he must have missed it, because Henrique's goal was like a minute or two in overtime, right? Wasn't it quickly in overtime?
Steve Summers comes in 5 minutes.
He doesn't remember. That's why he's not answering.
No. It was early. This is how I know. This is the story.
Okay.
Steve comes back, and I'm basically tossing stuff in the newsroom. He goes, what's going on? I go, Steve, the season's over. Henrique scored. It's over already?
You're kidding.
So I see what you did here.
Mm.
What he decided to do, Tiki, is pivot off of this defense of being on a cruise and coming back to basically say the king of Ranger fans in WFAN history, Steve Summers.
Yeah, missed the entirety of it.
Missed the overtime while smoking a cig outside.
That checks out.
Sometimes you have a need.
Right. No, that was a funny anecdote. That's all I was saying.
This is pre-nicotine pouches, man.
That's true.
This is pre-Zin.
Steve ain't putting on any of those pouches, trust me.
I don't think that's an anecdote. I think that's a let's throw a man under the bus.
No, I would never do it to Steve, but I think it's funny.
Now, to our last caller, I want to make this very clear. There are six almost champions remaining. The New Jersey Devils from 2012 ended up as the highest-rated almost champion from our local NHL teams. Finished ahead of the Rangers in 14. Ahead of the Islanders, which I thought was crazy in 84, and ahead of their own brother in the 0-1 Devils.
Too long ago.
Islanders. If that's the reason, fine.
That would be my guess.
But so to our Devil fan, who just called up and said, hey, that team is disrespected, not around here. I thought they got good respect. Now, for the record, and I don't know the order, the six remaining teams that will be ranked over the next 2 days as almost champions, there are two Nick teams remaining, two Met teams remaining, your Giant team, and the 2001 Yankees. Those are the remaining teams. The 0-1 Yankees, the 2000 Giants, both Met teams in 2000 and 2015, and then the 94 and 99 Knicks. Mm. So I don't know how it's going to finish and who's going to be number one as the most beloved almost champion, but we still have a diverse cross-section of local teams. I feel so disrespected that the Nets got eliminated this quick.
Just not the Jets either.
Well, that's because they weren't an almost champion.
They weren't even included.
Let's go to AJ and Kearney. What's up, AJ?
What's up, AJ?
Oh, guys, love the show. Two quick points, if I may, on hockey. Number one, the 0-1 Devils should probably be in the top five, if not in the top three of this list because they are the only team in this area that has come within one game of going back-to-back champions. Back-to-back.
Well,
they went to the seventh game of the final.
That is true because they did win in 2000, but we can't just ignore the Islander dynasty. We just can't make believe that didn't happen.
Yeah.
but yes.
But again, the Islander dynasty was so long ago.
That doesn't mean it doesn't count.
I mean, what was the cutoff? We did a cutoff.
1981.
Right? So, I mean, they're right up on the button.
They're right up there. Yeah, but they still exist. They still exist. Let's go to John in Woodbridge. What's up, John?
Hey, Evan. What's going on? What's up, Tiki?
All's good, man.
So, Evan, good idea for you. I remember last week you were talking about your scorebook. Maybe put a little note section on your new scorebook where you put current event, who died that day. What food you snuck into the game? Like that.
I like that. John is referencing the fact I've thought about creating my own line of scorebooks, but what could I do to make it different? And he is right. Like, you could include different features like, what did I eat today? When did I go to the bathroom? Bathroom breaks during a baseball game is a very important thing to keep track of. And speaking of keeping track of things, one thing we do around here, I enjoy, I take pride in, I think sometimes it causes anger on the other side of the glass, is I like to hold all of us accountable for our opinions. That's why we make long-term predictions, we keep the audio of it, and we check how we did. Right? We do that. I received an email the other day. Actually, it was this morning.
Yeah.
And I was like, I got to read this email, because even though the person called me out, I appreciated it. So this is from Lawrence. I want to read it to you. Hey, Evan, Tiki, and the crew. I think you guys are the crew.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great.
I just wanted to drop a quick note to say how much I enjoy the Evan and Tiki Show. You guys do an awesome job holding everyone, hosts, callers, and even yourselves, accountable for their sports takes.
Yep.
It's refreshing to hear talk with no fluff, and it keeps me tuned in every day. With that said, now that Devontae Adams has been released by the New York Jets,
gone.
I'd love for you to revisit Evan's thoughts on the trade back when it happened.
Oh, Lord.
I remember him being, quote, pretty fired up about it. Any chance we could take a look back at what he said and how it's aged? Keep up the good work.
Mm. Well, Lawrence, you do this?
When I saw this email, I believe in accountability. Mm. So, ladies and gentlemen, October 15th.
Are you trying to give yourself another L?
It's not about getting L's. Look, it's up to you guys to determine what
We won't. Unless it's, like, egregious.
All right. Here is what I said. And this was such a weird day, because when I went back to find this audio, what I kind of forgot was this was the day after the Mets beat the Dodgers in Game 2. The Yankees, I think, had won Game 1 of the ALCS.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jets lost to the Bills on Monday Night Football after they had fired Robert Saleh.
Right.
All of that happened, and then that morning before our show, they acquired Devontae Adams.
Oh, my God. That was after our American Dream Show that night of the tailgate?
It was after our American Dream Show.
And I remember saying it's not going to happen because I had just done a Raiders game, and I asked Devontae Adams specifically.
Right.
What are you going to do? He's like, I'm going to be here for my career. My family grew up Raiders fans. This feels like my destination.
Right.
He straight lied to my face.
He did. So all of that was going on in New York sports, and this is what I said to hold myself accountable about the Devontae Adams trade. This was an absolute no-brainer. The Jets are better because they made this trade. I believe the Jets had to make this trade. And I keep my fingers crossed, and I ask the football gods pretty please that it's all going to work out. But when you're in this deep, you got to keep digging.
Well, that's not bad. That's not L-worthy.
I stand by it.
It's just you're excited about it.
And you know what? I stand by every word. Like, it didn't work, clearly. And it was a conditional third, which remained a third. I think it had a chance to go to a two if they had gone to the AFC Championship game or something like that. But I stand by that take. Like, I was excited. I thought it was worth it. And look, there's a lot of things in sports where you look back on and it didn't work, but you don't regret it. The Jets getting Aaron Rodgers, I do not regret. The Nets getting Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, I do not regret. And trading Devontae Adams, even though it was a third-round pick, I do not regret.
Right.
I don't.
Well, you gave up your third, but you already had a third.
Mm-hmm. From a Lion trade.
Detroit.
Yep.
So
yep.
You had Detroit. So it didn't really cost you much, except for that third is 28th.
They could use the third right now. Right.
But I'm just saying, instead of being, you know, the seventh pick in the third round. It's the 28th pick in the third round.
Right.
That's the only thing. But you already have a couple of extra picks of Kansas City, got their sixth round pick, and another fifth round pick because of the Pittsburgh trade.
I thought in that moment they had to do it. They had to go for it.
I agree.
And so, yeah, I mean, it didn't work. I'd be the first to raise my hand, and if that's L-worthy, fine, but I stand by it. Sometimes there are opinions you have, and you look back and you say, what the hell was I thinking? I don't feel that way about Devontae Adams. I also remember that Sean and I got in a very passionate argument that day. Do you know what we argued about?
About Devontae Adams?
About this, yeah, related to the Devontae Adams thing.
I know I was against the Jets trading for him.
So you weren't. I listened to the full audio. You were for it. What you argued with me is, I get why you did it, but I think it's too late. And I got really pissed that it's too late. I said, okay. What do you mean it's too late? They're right there.
Right.
And it wasn't too late. Like, ultimately, calendar-wise, it wasn't too late. It just didn't work. And what I learned about the Devontae Adams trade, I want to share with you guys as Giant fans, because I think it's really important. Because you guys may sign Aaron Rodgers next week. That is absolutely on the table.
And Devontae Adams.
Signing Devontae Adams with Aaron Rodgers is a catastrophic mistake. Because what I learned from this experience is that while Devontae can still play and him and Rodgers have a chemistry, I think Rodgers is going to force the biscuit to him way too much.
Yeah.
And I think that was some of the issues that happened with the Jets. They had bigger issues than just that. But I think it alienated Garrett Wilson. And I am deeply, deeply concerned that if you do this again, if you repeat the Jet mistake, you will alienate Malik Nabers, and we're going to be sitting here in the month of December, and we're going to hear, I don't know if we'll do it publicly, but we're going to hear about how Nabers ain't happy, and that's a big mistake. Learn from our mistakes.
That would be a fear. I want you to do a little homework when you get home tonight in between Ricos, okay? I want you to go through the last 10 years of Giants football and tell me how many times their number two wide receiver had seven or more touchdowns.
But what does that have to do with this?
That's how many Adams had with the Jets.
Yeah.
And what the Giants have a problem with right now is people scoring touchdowns.
Yeah, but you're missing the point I made.
The question is what's left in him? Devontae Adams is an interesting case because at one point he was a shoo-in Hall of Famer.
Right.
Is he still that?
Yeah, but wait a second. Yes, it's a great point, and I get both of your points. You both ignored my point, and at least address it before we move on. Do you not think that Aaron Rodgers will force the issue with a guy who's not as good as the other young receiver?
I don't think he's in position to do that.
But he did it with Garrett.
Yeah, well, I think it's a pushover.
He was
deified with the Jets.
I agree.
And so whatever he wanted to happen wasn't going to happen. That's not going to happen with the Giants.
I would agree with most of that the Giants can kind of give him the law of the land. But I think a part of giving him the law of the land is not having Devontae even on the team as that drug you could go to.
Oh, I agree.
There are other receivers you can add.
There are better options than Devontae Adams.
Younger options?
Age, younger?
Yeah.
Or draft.
Or guys that Rodgers isn't going to have this, I got to push it to him issue with. So I get that the Giants have lacked it, and I totally get that Devontae still has something left.
Yeah.
But I think we got to look at the bigger issue here, which is don't give Rodgers that chance to do what he did with the Jets. It's a big mistake. I'm telling you right now, I learned from it.
I sincerely see what you're saying.
And by the way, January Loogie agreed with me.
I don't fully disagree with your point, but, you know, there's always one side to another. They traded for Adams, like I said there, too little too late. And I think as the season continued to spiral, then you had that Jaguar game, I think Rodgers just, hey, the season's getting out of hand. I'm chasing 500 touchdowns, whatever. I'm going to keep feeding my guy. If you start the season with him and Nabers, and, you know, there's a chance he likes Nabers better than Garrett Wilson,
but
too,
Sean, why not just bring in another receiver?
You can. But I'm not eliminating Adams based on the fact he played Rodgers. That's all I'm saying.
But you should. Like, I'm surprised that you're making this mistake.
I think he wants to be on the West Coast anyway. So
with Devontae?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know where he wants to be. I'm just warning you that you should learn from this. It doesn't feel like you've learned anything.
Oh, I've learned.
I feel like you're... You know what I feel like's going on? You ever hear the term single white female?
It's a movie with Jane Fonda.
But you know the origin of it, like the meaning of it?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So single white female is like you're trying to be like someone else. And I think that's what the movie's about, correct?
To a degree, yeah.
I'm not even familiar with the movie. I'm familiar with the phrase, like, oh, she's single white femaling her, or he's single white femaling him.
I think the phrase came
him.
Probably from the movie.
Probably. The origin of the phrase is, you're trying to be like someone else, right? You're really imitating that other person.
Yep.
I think you're single white femaling the Jets.
Yeah, because he wants to ram it up your butt.
Yes.
You know that.
Yeah.
And Sean, by the way, March Lugau agrees with you too. Sean is bringing up the player. It's not the player. It's what he represents. And we talk about laying the law down with Rodgers. If you're Aaron Rodgers and the Giants go, we're going to lay the law down with you. You're bringing in Devontae Adams. That's totally going against that. You're not laying the law down because you're bringing in his buddy.
Right.
So a guy like Aaron Rodgers is going to see that and go, well, if I could get Devontae Adams here, what else could I get away with?
But I think
it's setting a precedent.
But you're creating a situation I don't think is realistic.
Which one?
Devontae Adams becoming a Giant.
So you don't think it'll happen?
I don't think
it'll happen. Because of Devontae's lack of interest or the Giants' lack of interest?
Probably both.
Okay, well, then I agree with the Giants. I'm merely warning you, because I don't know what the Giants are interested in. I'm warning you from this refresher of Devontae Adams' trade and my opinion on the trade and why I liked it, what I learned from it. And what I learned from it was, that was actually not the marriage we thought it would be, and it turned out to be a negative because I saw what it did to Garrett Wilson. Mm-hmm. And like, you got to look deeper at the numbers because some people would poo-poo this by saying, well, he's still targeting Garrett Wilson a lot. What's he complaining about? Look closer. That'd be my answer. Just look closer, and you can see why Wilson was annoyed by what was happening.
To bring this full circle, I agree with Tiki. I don't think Devontae Adams is going to be here. I'm just saying that is not why I'm eliminating. That's all I'm saying. I'm not eliminating him, and the Giants have a major need at number two.
And right? I think you should eliminate him. What?
By the way, single white female is Bridget Fonda. I said Jane Fonda.
Oh.
There's a, well,
oh,
she's got,
two
wanna be
Fondas?
Accurate. Yeah, there's
it's a daughter, right?
I would have, just based on the last name, I would make that logical conclusion. There's definitely a big age gap.
It's got
to
be.
Well, how old's Jane Fonda? That Bridget was.
Bridget is 61. Jane Fonda is 87. So 26. Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Wow. I was going to say, she's definitely in her 80s, Jane.
I've never seen that movie, but it's one of those things that's it's a phrase I've now learned.
Well, she was a stalker, right?
Jane Fonda?
No. The character is single white female.
Yes. So she looks, I think, almost like Get with her boyfriend or stuff like that. She like created, I think it was like Jennifer Jason Leigh was the other character. Uh-huh. And she like cut her hair like her, acted like her.
Right. So basically.
Not Jane Fonda's daughter, by the way.
It's not?
Jane Fonda's her aunt.
Oh,
Evan,
okay.
I'll do something that you remember. Close. The angle between Trish Stratus and Mickey James?
Yeah, yeah.
That's single white female.
Well, I was going to give you an even better one. An episode of 90210.
Oh,
if
no.
You go back to season 5 or season 6, I'm not sure which one. Jenny Garth, Kelly Taylor, started to get single white femaled by this other girl.
Mm. All millennials are tuning out right now.
What if millennials? Right, they now. Don't go back and watch it on soap?
No.
Really? Bridget, you think 90210 is like dead now?
Yes.
That's a shame.
Bridget Fonda's middle name is Jane, and in some accreditation, she's been known as Jane
is
Fonda.
Her mom?
What?
Yeah. So that, I think, this is what screwed me up. I think I thought my whole life Bridget Fonda was Jane Fonda. And I think Tommy did too. Because she's 61 already.
Who's the one that was married?
Yeah, right. So that's when you were that 18, 20-year age.
To me,
whereas
that was
for me, when I was that age, it was the actual Jane Fonda.
Who was the one who was married to Ted Turner? Wasn't that Jane Fonda?
That was Jane Fonda.
That was Jane Fonda.
Not Bridget Fonda.
And Jane Fonda is the aunt of Bridget Fonda.
Yes.
Is that what we've learned from all this?
Yes.
All right. Sean's got a Cinco de 5-0 coming up. We'll get back to your calls at 888-808-1019. That's the toll-free telephone number.